Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Resurrection Church Online. I hope everyone is doing well. I hope you've had an enjoyable morning this morning, watching the service, worshiping with us, and we anticipate and look forward to the day where we can join one another in person. But until then, we get to use the latest and greatest of technology and Facebook and YouTube and other things. And by the way, we are working on a live stream to our website in the next few weeks as well. So pray that all of the equipment works and all the technical things are worked out. And before we get started, I just want to read a psalm of praise to the Lord. Psalm 148 says this: praise the Lord from the heavens. My pages are a little thin here. Praise him in the heights. Praise all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, highest heavens and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. And he has made a decree which will not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail and snow and clouds and stormy wind, and fulfilling his word, mountains and all his hills, fruit trees and cedars and beast and all cattle, creeping things and winged fowl, and kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and virgins, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. And he has lifted up a horn for his people, praise for all his godly ones, even for the sons of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. This is a wonderful day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Amen. All right. If you want to say amen, you can say amen. They're on the comments, of course. Let us know you're watching. Hey, today is a wonderful day. Why? Because it's Sunday. Yes, it's also Sunday. It's a new day. It's a beautiful day. It's a day that God has made especially for you. Okay? So we are starting a new series, and today is going to be introduction to the whole rest of the series. And it's a series we're calling Happy. He's like, Happy? Well, that's an interesting name. Well, because it has to do with the title and the theme of the series. This is an introduction to the teachings of Jesus in the Beatitudes. So we're going to go into the Sermon on the Mount eventually. But today, the question we want to look at is, does God want us to be happy? And what's the key to happiness? Now, you're going to ask me, why in the world did you pick that topic and the title? And just, I have a reason. And I'll tell you my reason. First of all, it's because personally, it speaks to me, because personally, I struggle with the whole thing of happiness. I'm by nature introverted. You didn't know that. By nature, sort of melancholy, like Eeyore, you know, if you watch the Winnie the Pooh, you know, I'm Eeyore and Rabbit, okay? I'm not Winnie the Pooh and Tigger. My wife is Winnie the Pooh and Tigger. I'm Eeyore and Rabbit, and so it makes for a, you know, interesting mix, you know? And so my personal life, I have struggled with always having cloudy days, right? And I live in Arizona, where it's sunny all the time, right? I mean, come on. We love it when it's cloudy because we get a break from the sunshine, but most of the time it's sunny. We live in the valley of the sun, for crying out loud. And so my own search, this is from my own search, okay? My own search, and I know what the scripture says. I know that God is a God of blessing, a God of goodness, but I didn't always feel that, right? So part of the reason for the study is personal, okay? I'm going to be a little selfish here and just let you know it's to help me out. But if some of you guys out there are like me, that's okay. So this long-term, you know, this sort of, you know, past struggles, personality type, perfectionistic, those you guys are, how many of you guys are out there are perfectionistic? You know, those of us who are perfectionistic, we always see something wrong, and something's never, ever right, and you never get to enjoy something because you're so watching for the details of how wrong it is. Having the perfect inside and out. So all I have to say is, after a time, it gets to be old and boring, okay? I'm just telling you, and tiring to always be gloomy and Eeyore and Rabbit all the time, okay? No offense, I love Eeyore and Rabbit. But after a while, you get tired of that, and you're like, Lord, where's the joy that's supposed to be with the Christian life, right? Where's the joy that's supposed to be a part of it? Because am I missing something here, God, you know? And so part of it is just my own journey. But I bet you there's some of us who are here, maybe in this room, there's only a few of us in this room, and we're watching online, that you're on the same page. You've been depressed, you've looked for happiness, you've been a long-time believer, and you struggle, and I get that, because I've had the same struggle. And every day is a decision to say, I'm gonna, and some people don't have that struggle. Some people are just naturally sunny, right? Well, so, I don't know about you, but I want to go on a journey with you to see, what does God say about happiness? Because some of us have had, and some of us do struggle with the anxiety of life, right? With the pressures, especially as we see things going on in the world, it's hard to keep the ray of sunshine going, you know? Is this what the Christian life is meant to be? We're waiting. A lot of us are waiting for the right circumstances to be happy, and the right circumstances don't ever seem, it's like that carrot on the stick thing, you know? Almost got it, you know? And that never happens. And of course, we feel empty. Some of us feel, you know, we're into ourselves. You ever notice how if you take selfies, it's always about the best side of you when you put selfies online? But then after you put the phone away, you drive away, whatever, you know, come on, really, that selfie is not really representative of what you really are. You just want to show that. Why not say, God, how do I be what you call me to be? And that's happy. And we'll look at that. And some of us, let me just ask you this, tell you what. I want you to finish this statement, okay? I will be happy when. I will be happy if. I will be happy when I have the right relationship. I will be happy when I get this career and job. I will be happy if those leaders in Congress will do the right thing. I will be happy when my children do such and such. I will be happy if my husband would just pick up after himself. I will be happy. You know, I will be happy when, or I will be happy if. You ever notice that never happens? Because your husband, you can be married to the most perfect husband and you're still not happy. I will be happy when I get this next job, or when I achieve success in life, I will be happy. I will be happy when I achieve these goals in life. And the goals are great. I'm all about goals. I love going goals. But you get to that place, your goal, and you're like, maybe it's the next goal. Or I'll be happy if I became famous and rich. Oh, if I'm rich, I'll be happy. Oh, look at all those rich, happy people out in the world, right? Because they're so happy. We're all searching for happiness. And things, I'll be happy if I can just, and you fill in the blank. And you know something? Happiness is not tied to when or if, all that stuff that changes, and never, because it doesn't affect inside. Happiness is not found there. And that's what the world says to you. If you can be successful and rich and famous and have lots of stuff and set goals and make good, you know, and all I said, you'll be happy. Really? No. That's a bill of goods that the world has sold us. Does God want us to be happy then? This search for happiness, of course, has been in our hearts, in our souls, since the beginning, basically. Ever since the fall. Anselm of Canterbury, who lived in the Middle Ages, about 1100, he says, "Oh, wretched lot of man, when he hath lost that for which he was made, he has lost the blessedness or the happiness for which he was made, and he has found the misery for which he was not made." We were made for things. You know, there's that song, there's a famous song, if we can just get ourselves back to the garden, right? That's the goal. We can just go back to the 50s, right? Because then everybody was happy back in the 50s. Oh, if we get this back into the, some of us grew up in the 80s, right? And we loved the music and the culture of the 80s, so yeah, we still weren't happy. No, if we could just go back here, that's how we'll be happy, you know? If we can go and visit a time machine and just go back, then we'll be happy. Happiness is another bishop, J.C. Ryle, said, happiness is what all mankind wants to obtain. The desire for it is deeply planted in the human heart. Come on, you and I do things. Everyone does things because there's a belief that it will make us happy. Right? The friends you choose, the food you eat, TV show, everything, you're doing it to make yourself happy. Why is happiness so elusive? Where is this happiness, God? Where is it? We were made for greater things than just existing and eking it out and looking and searching and being disappointed. If I had this filled with sand, would it quench my thirst? No, it wouldn't. It's not filled with sand, thank God. It wouldn't quench. And things outside of God do not fill your heart. But even for Christians, we often struggle. Does God want me to be happy? Is this my lot in life, to be Eeyore and Rabbit? To be a cloudy day all the time? Is this my lot in life? Does God even want me to be happy? And if so, how do I experience this? This is my own struggle, okay? This is my own question I'm asking, and I'm learning the answers to this question because I've lived 51 years of my life being in one way, and I'm kind of tired of it. And I'm like, I read in Scripture that there's so much more that I'm to experience, and for some reason, I haven't. So what's the issue? Now, some people say, well, it's because it's the food you eat, and I'm just talking for spiritual matters. The Christian life is meant to be a happy life. It is meant to be a happy life. It's meant to be a joyous life. And we'll look at all the questions and all looking at all the answers. But the question I'm going to ask for this today is, does God want me to be happy? And if so, how do I experience this? So let's answer the question. First of all, I need to find some terms, okay? I need to define some terms, because when I say happy, and when your mind may come one thing, and my mind, and Bible's mind, God's mind may be something else. So let's define. There's a difference between godly happiness and worldly happiness, okay? There's a difference. Biblical, true, godly happiness is found in the Lord. Now, we'll discover what that means. The Scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord, right? Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. He says that in Philippians 4. Jesus is going to teach in Matthew 5, which we may touch upon today. That's where we're going to go in the next few weeks on the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Happy are the poor in spirit. Well, that's a strange thing to say, Jesus, you know. But there's a difference between godly happiness, biblical happiness, and worldly happiness. Godly happiness happens with a right relationship with God and an enjoyment of God and the enjoyment of that relationship, okay? Worldly happiness, of course, is based on circumstance. I will be happy when or if external circumstances change. And the problem with that is those external things are a dead-end road that does not meet the destination of happiness. Those are dead-end streets that never quite make it to your final destination of happiness. Worldly happiness is based on changing circumstances external to you. The truth is, God wants us to seek real happiness in Him. Satan wants us to seek happiness outside of Him. That's why in the garden it says, he tempted, hey, Eve, if you really knew what it's all about, God doesn't want you to be happy. He actually is holding things back from you. But if you eat this fruit, which actually God lied to you, because if you eat it, you will be like God, and you'll know good and evil, right? And of course, she saw the fruit, and it was good. It was pleasant to the eyes, and it was desirable to make one wise. And of course, hey, it looks delicious as well. And she took one bite of it, and it did not produce. It did not give her what she was looking for. And ever since then, Satan gives us these little carrots or fruits that say, hey, here's the next one. And we go along dissatisfied, believing that we'll be happy. So godly happiness is found based on relationship with Jesus Christ. Worldly happiness is based on changing your circumstances, your conditions, your externals, and they never, ever, ever satisfied. Never said. I read an account of a counselor who was counseling very rich people, and they were that counselor was their last straw, because they were thinking about committing suicide because they had achieved everything. They have achieved life success and fame and fortune in life, and money and all this kind of stuff. It didn't satisfy. We see this in Scripture. You have Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, who was the wisest man, who was rich, and he had everything. He had, you know, silver and gold, and he had servants, and he had palaces, and he had women. He had all the pleasures, and if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, he experienced it all, and he achieved great things and great goals and great achievements, and everybody came to him because he was so wise. And at the end of the day, he concluded it was all for nothing. Vanity of vanity, he says. So does God want me to be happy? Well, if it's godly happiness that's found in him, yes. Now, I'm going to give you some six reasons that why God wants us to be happy. And again, I know there's some questions going, what about this? What about that? I'll get to that, okay? Just pause for a second, okay? That's in the second part. Six reasons why God wants you to be happy, okay? First, number one, yes. Does God want me to be happy? Yes. Number one, because God commands us to be happy. God commands us to have joy and have gladness. Happiness is a command in Scripture. He's like, whoa, what are you talking about? Well, look at Philippians 4. If you go to Philippians 4, verse 4, it says this. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now that word rejoice, it's from the word kairo. It means to rejoice. It's a command. Wait a second, John. Wait. You can't command an emotion. No, I can't. Actually, you can command a decision. And you know something in life? Emotions follow decisions. Emotions follow decisions. We live in the world where emotions lead decisions. I feel like this. Oh, based on our feeling, I feel like that. And then we follow our feelings with our decisions. But in reality, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, we say, this is Paul. Guess what? Paul's writing from prison. Not the happy place, not the magic kingdom you would think he would be in. He's writing from prison, and he said, hey, rejoice. There's a time when Paul was in prison, and God came to rescue him, and the gates opened up, and the shackles came off, and the guards came, and they said, what's going on here, and why are you, listen, your condition is the condition of happiness is not based on circumstances. Anyway, it's a command. It's a command. The word, Greek word is kairo, means to be glad, to rejoice, to take pleasure in, to rejoice over something. It's a state of happiness, of well-being. We are commanded by God to rejoice. In fact, Jesus says this in Matthew 5:12. We're going to get to Matthew. If you want to, you can go there as well. And our destination eventually is Matthew 5. But in Matthew 5, verse 12, it says, in response to, blessed are you, verse 11, who are persecuted and insulted, verse 12, it says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. Rejoice is a command. Jesus says, rejoice. Rejoice and be glad. Same word. Be glad is actually similar. It means to celebrate, to pray, to be, yes, thank you, Lord, that we're being persecuted. What? Doesn't match the world's way of finding happiness, does it? But happiness, of course, is commanded. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. See, that's the goal. Delight yourself in the Lord. And here's the thing. I'm human, okay? I'm here on Sunday mornings, and but every day is a decision. I have to get up in the morning and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I have to make a decision to be obedient to that. And what happens when I do that, what follows is good. Okay, let's just put it that way, right? And I'm prepared for what may not be good, but I'm prepared because I made a decision to rejoice in the Lord. But the days where I don't do that, because it's a daily decision, it's often a moment by moment, but it's a daily decision. Say, Lord, I'm going to delight myself in you. I'm going to look to you to find my happiness, my joy, And the days where I don't do that often lead me to dark roads, okay? And so the decision to be obedient. So God says, Psalmist says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. The word delight there means to take pleasure in. It actually means to pamper yourself in the Lord. It's sort of like a word for dainty as well. It's sort of like it's a very delicate word, but it means to be soft, actually. It's a word that means to be soft, to delight in. I never thought about that in those terms, that I can delight in God? Wow. Jesus says to his disciples, he says, until now you've asked me for nothing. My name, ask and you'll receive so that your joy may be full. The Bible commands us to be happy, to have gladness, to have joy. Merriment and pleasure and celebration and laughter, it's good, right? Listen, I used to think, because I was religious, I used to think I had to be real somber, right? You know, I had to be like real serious, you know. I'm into godly things now, so I have to be, you know, I got to speak Latin or something, and which I don't know Latin, but I have to be real somber and serious, and I have to like this and fold my hands, you know. And it's like, really? Is this what God called me to be? Now, don't get me wrong. I have my sad days, and so do all of us, right? But I want to have more of enjoyment days than sad days. I don't know about you. I want to have more of those. Deuteronomy 33 says, blessed, or the Hebrew word asherei means to be happy. I'll explain that in a little bit. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? Who is the shield of your help, the sword of your majesty? And so your enemies will cringe before you and you will tread upon their hype. How happy are you? Isaiah 52:7 says, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness. The word there is tov in Hebrew. Happiness, who announces salvation. This is, hey, and your God reigns, it says to Zion, your God reigns. Good news. The gospel is good news, right? Good news. It means there's something to celebrate. Good. You mean what? God's done something for me on the cross. God has forgiven my sins. You got to be really. That's all. That's good news. That's happiness. Okay. Second reason. I got six reasons, and I better hurry up. But I have to, guess what? It's our page. We get to be as long as we want on Facebook. So guess what? I ain't going anywhere soon because I got a lot to say. Okay. Second reason why God wants to be happy is this: because God Himself is happy. God Himself, no, God commands us to be happy, number one. Secondly, God Himself is happy. You know, I never thought of that before. I thought, God is actually happy? I don't know about you, I've always had this vision of God, and this, I think, was the kicker for me. I've always envisioned, I know what the scripture says, you know, He's gracious, He's loving, and I am whole, but something deep down inside of me has always been suspicious of that and said, oh no, He is this killjoy in heaven that's looking like you're at the carnival and you have this whack-a-mole, you know, like this, you know, and he's unhappy, you know, and if He's unhappy, He's hard to please, which means if He's unhappy and hard to please, then how can I please Him? Because then I fall. So I do whack-a-mole myself, and then I'm miserable. But the scriptures teaches that God Himself is happy. The belief that God isn't happy is what accounts for a lot of us as Christians to not experience joy and happiness. We believe that God is so miserable and so hard to please. Not all of us, those of us who are Eeyores and Rabbits in the world, okay? That if He's not happy, well then how can I make Him happy? You ever notice that when you're around happy people, it makes you happy? You ever notice that? And when you're around dreary and drim people, you're like, I don't want to be there. I want to find the fun people, right? Well, God Himself is happy. Here's what Scripture says. Well, first of all, Psalms 115 says, but our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases. 1 Timothy 1. I want you to go to 1 Timothy 1. I want to show you something here. And I'll come back to these verses later on. But 1 Timothy 1 and verse 11 says this. In fact, let me read 1 Timothy 1:11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed, you see that? The word blessed God? Okay, when I think of blessed God, I think, well, he's blessed, you know, he's a blessing, he's special, you know, but I don't think of happiness. The word there actually ought to be translated happy. And I'll argue that in a little bit. The blessed or happy God, which he has been entrusted, he is happy. In fact, it's the same word that Jesus uses in Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, or better translation, happy are the poor in spirit. Now, why was it translated blessed? It goes back to King James, goes back to Tyndale's version of translation. And back in those days, blessed meant happy. But somehow, the happiness fell off, and the blessed stood, and they're just traditionally, they've kept the translation. In fact, the same word is used in other parts of the New Testament, and it's translated happy. But somehow, they get through their traditional, you know, beatitudes, and they keep the word blessed. But to you and I in 2020, when I think of, I don't know about you, but when I think of blessing, I don't necessarily think of happy. I think of special, right? That person's blessed. The hand of God is on them, you know? I don't think of happy. But here, it means happy. In fact, First Timothy 6:15 says, which he will bring about at the proper time, he who is the blessed, happy, and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. God is happy. God is happy. And because God is happy, he doesn't get frustrated. He doesn't pout. He doesn't do what those of us who are unhappy because our circumstances aren't meeting our needs, right? You get frustrated. You get grumble, and you get, you know, sullen because things aren't going your way, and everything's wrong in the world, and nobody's listening to. If I was in charge, I'd be happy because, you know what, people will listen to me, and that's not going to make you happy. But God is not like that. God is happy in himself. In fact, it says, in his presence is fullness of joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, right? Joy. When we get to heaven, we're going to celebrate the happiness and joy of God. Thirdly, I'm just going to keep going. Thirdly, third reason why God wants us to be happy is because happiness is a reflection of the God we follow. It ties into the last point. Our happiness is to be found only in God. The psalmist says this, Psalm 9:2 says, I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing your praise to your name, O Most High. The word glad there means to brighten up, to be gleesome, if that's a word, to be cheerful, right? I will be cheerful. I will make merry. I will have joy. It's a reflection of the God we follow. See, the world is looking for something to follow, right? And many of us, I'm just going to speak for myself, go around as if God was dreary, drab, unhappy, and hard to please. And so we go around dreary, drab, happy to please. And the world says, I don't want that, right? I'm not attracted to that. You think that's going to, why not say God is happy? Why not? In fact, it says in Psalm 43:4, it says, I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. God is my exceeding joy. I don't know about you, but I want to approach that kind of God, right? I want to give him my joy back and say, yes, to enjoy God, to delight in God, brings us fulfillment and happiness. Your fulfillment is not found in relationships. I will be happy if I could just meet this person, marry that person, go to this. None of that will make you happy, but delighting in God, there's where it's at. Oh, that's a road that will lead directly to the destination of happiness. Oh. Jesus says, in fact, Jesus expects us to have joy in him. He says this, as I said before, John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy, what? I thought Jesus was a man of sorrows. He was, but he was also a man of joy. So that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Later on, he says, but now I come to you, John 17:13, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy and may my, this is the prayer to God, my joy may be full in themselves. Now, obviously, some people want to seek happiness in the world, so they seek worldly pleasures and sinful things, right? That's not happiness. Yeah, you may enjoy it, but that's not true biblical happiness. Delighting in God is. It's interesting that as believers, if we are to find our happiness in God, The world looks at the church oftentimes, not everyone, oftentimes the world looks at the church and says, you guys are dreary, you guys are so sad, and what's this God done for you, you know? And there's the words that come to my mind. A famous song from Billy Joel. He says his impression of unbelievers. They say there's a heaven, and for those who wait, some say it's better. I say it ain't. I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. The sinners are much more fun. Why not be happy and delighting in God and say, hey, we can have fun too. We can have joy too that you don't have. What are we showing to the world? What kind of God are we demonstrating to the world of being dreary and drab all the time? Does that make sense? Amen? All right. So we believe that God wants us to be happy because He commands it, and secondly, He is happy, and thirdly, it's a reflection of God we claim to follow. That's why St. Francis of Assisi said this. He says, let us leave sadness to the devil and his angels. As for us, what can we but be rejoicing and glad? Let's leave sadness and to the devil and his angels, and for us, let us be rejoicing and glad. This is from like the 1200s. He was a pretty wise man. Charles Spurgeon says, God made human beings as He made other creatures to be happy. They are in their right element when they are happy. And then C.S. Lewis says this, it's a Christian duty for everyone to be as happy as he can, because happiness is a reflection, I'm adding, of the God we follow, the God we claim to be. Fourth reason, 4, 5, and 6, real fast. Fourth reason, because God wants us to be happy because there's joy in His presence. There is joy in God's presence. There is joy in God's presence. I'm just excited. I'm happy, okay? So if I'm going too fast, sorry. But I'm going to delight in the Lord. And guess what? There is joy in God's presence. There is joy in God's presence. I want to rejoice in that. In fact, it says this. It's Matthew 25:23. It says, His master said to Him, well done, good and faithful servant, which all of us, Lord willing, if you're a believer in Jesus, you'll hear those words. I'm waiting for those words. He says, you have been faithful in the few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Ah, right? Enter into the joy of your master and let the party begin in heaven, right? Rejoicing with God for all of eternity. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that. And why not have that little bit here in heaven, here on earth, where we delight in the Lord. Yes, there's things that happen in life. Yes, there's loss. I'm not diminishing. I've lived through all that stuff. But all I'm trying to say is it possible that we can experience God's happiness here on earth despite our circumstances? And I say, yes, it is. Fifth reason God wants us to be happy is because He delights in His people. He delights in His people. He delights in us. God delights over you. Again, He's not the killjoy that wants to wait the whack-a-mole. He delights in you. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is in your midst. A victorious warrior, He will exult over you with joy. He will quiet you in His life. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Do you see that scene? God shouting and dancing and being joyful. Well, that's not respectful. You know, it doesn't meet my image of God being this really somber. No, He's celebrating. He loves you. He rejoices over you. The psalmist continues, Psalm 35:27 says, let them shout for joy and rejoice who favor my vindication, and let them continually say, the Lord be magnified who delights in the prosperity of His servant. The Lord delights. This is changing my image of God. I don't know about you. This is really helping me out because I want to draw near to that God. I want to draw near to that happy, joyful God that rejoices over His children, that delights over us. Why would He send His Son but to give us a way to enter into that enjoyment of Himself? The sixth reason why God wants us to be happy is because Jesus Himself was happy. Now, I alluded to this, but again, we know that the Scripture says He was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53. But that wasn't His entire life. You know, there's times, and obviously, dying on the cross and experiencing what Jesus experienced, but there were many times where Jesus expresses gladness. In fact, that's why if you're like me, I like to watch Jesus movies, you know, old Jesus films, and you got the somber, sad, depressing Jesus, right? Then you got the happy Jesus, Bruce Marciano, Matthew series. I love, you know, the happy Jesus. I'm like, I want to watch that again and again. This guy, he's a little depressed, you know, depressing. And everybody has their concept of who Jesus is, but Peter quotes in his sermon in Acts 2, I believe he's quoting from Psalm 16:8, and here's what it says. This is speaking of the Lord. The prophecy says, I have set the Lord continually before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. And he's speaking about the Lord. Nor will you allow your Holy One, here it is, to undergo decay. You will make me know the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In fact, Hebrews talks about the Lord and his gladness. I'm just going to read this. Hebrews 1:8 says, but of the Son, he says, your throne, this is speaking of Jesus, your throne, Jesus, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. And you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above all your companions. The word gladness is a word that means a state of intense joy and gladness. implies verbal expression of gladness. Here's Jesus, who is one who is glad, part of this word can mean one who celebrates and jumps up for joy, being glad. John Piper comments this. He says, Jesus Christ is the happiest being in the universe. I love that. I don't know about you. I love that. Can you imagine Jesus laughing and being joyful? I can. It's freeing. His gladness, John Piper continues, his gladness is greater than all the angelic gladness of heaven. He mirrors perfectly the infinite, holy, indomitable mirth of his Father. Jesus is joyful. One time, I don't share this all the time. God gave me a dream one time because I'm Eeyore and Rabbit. And one time, this dream, I was probably walking on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is with the disciples on the boat, and they're just laughing. They're just laughing. And the sense I got from this dream was this, I have joy. There's joy with me. I was like, that ministered to me. In fact, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus says this. It says, at that very time, speaking of Jesus, at that time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven, that you hid these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to the infants. Yes, Father, in this way was well-pleasing to your sight. He rejoiced greatly, and that means, the same word as Hebrews' word, it means to celebrate, to praise, to exalt, to experience great joy. So Jesus was joyful. So God wants us to be joyful, to be happy, because he commands it, right? Because he himself is happy. I forgot my third reason. What is my third reason? Because it reflects who God is. There's joy in his presence. Fifthly, because he delights in his people. And finally, because Jesus himself was happy. Does God want me to be happy? Yes. And I know what you're thinking now. All those objections are coming up. You've been waiting for... But what about da-da-da, right? So let's talk about the real fast, okay? And I've taught this, I've heard this, but as I study Scripture, some of these objections just don't hold water. So I'm going to step on a little sacred cows here for some of all, but let me let's talk about this, okay? First objection, God calls us to be holy, not happy. Have you heard that before? I've heard that before, I've taught that before. God is more concerned with your holiness than your happiness. That sounds really good, doesn't it? It sounds spiritual, right? Don't get too happy now, because God's concerned with your holiness and your happiness. Now listen, not to find our happiness in the world, right? Granted, we're to find our happiness in the Lord, right? Let's just stay there. If I'm finding my happiness in the Lord, If I'm delighting in the Lord, and my happiness is in the Lord, my joy is in the Lord, I'll be like the Lord. To say God is more concerned with your holiness, not your happiness, is to say God can't be holy and happy at the same time. God can be holy. It's a false, it's like saying, don't breathe and don't go for a run or something. Doesn't make sense. God is holy and happy at the same time. Now, of course, I'm going to say, don't find your happiness in things of the world. I agree with that. But if you find your delight in joy in the Lord, you'll be more like God than miserable, depressed, sullen person, right? Right? God commands us to be holy for I am holy, right? That's true. God also commands us to be happy. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice, right? So we don't have to have the difference. It's where are you finding your happiness? That's the question, right? If it's in the Lord, by all means, then it will demonstrate and resemble the Lord himself, the joyful God that we serve. In fact, are you most honoring to God when you think you're being holy, or when you are delighting in the Lord and allowing his joy to fill you so people say, I want the Jesus that you have. That's the Jesus I want. I don't want the miserable Jesus. I want the Jesus that's full of joy and who's holy at the same time, both. But, okay, here's another question, objection people might think. God calls us to joy, not happiness. I've taught this before as well. Happiness changes because of circumstances, right? And joy is just this underlying thing that you just have inside of you. In fact, you never show it, right? Because you're always joyful and you're always... But happiness changes, right? Again, if you're looking to happiness based on circumstances the way the world does, then yes, of course, that's going to fluctuate, right? The weather's good, happy. The weather's bad, you know, stocks are up, good. You know, husband loves me, good. You know, husband doesn't love me, you know, all that, right? But that's not the true source of true happiness. If you delight in the Lord, it doesn't fluctuate like that. In fact, here's the question. Both in Hebrew and in Greek, Hebrew has like 18, at least 18 words for that are translated happy and joyful. Greek has many words. They don't make that distinction between happiness and joy. They all overlap the same sense of expression of joy, of enjoyment, of pleasure. There isn't this difference that we think happiness is like this. It's not really reserved, but joy, it's just underneath, you know, but it never comes out. You know, I'm joyful, but I never show it. You know, I'm being joyful right now. No. It's meant to express. It's meant to be expressed. The Bible uses the different words to express the same things. It doesn't have that distinction that we in English think. So God calls us to joy and happiness and all kinds of other similar ideas, gladness, delight, enjoyment, pleasure in the Lord. In the Lord. 18 different, one scholar says there's 18 different Hebrew root words in the Old Testament related to joy, happiness, and gladness, in that there isn't this huge distinction that we want to have. So when I say happiness, I'm thinking happiness in the Lord. I'm thinking joy and enjoyment, and it comes out. It comes out, right? In the Old Testament, there's one major word in the Old Testament is the word to bless. It means blessed or blessed, but it means happy. It's the word ashrei, and it's translated as the word in the Greek equivalent in Matthew 5 is makarios, which means blessed or happy, 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 right? When you see the word happy or blessed in Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Beatitudes, think happy because the Hebrew equivalent is happy. Blessed, blessed, blessed is the man. Happy is the man whose sin, Romans 4:8 says, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. I read that and say, that's great. The guy is a blessed guy. But if I read it as happy, if your sins are forgiven, you'll be happy, right? If you have debt that you could not pay, and somebody comes and takes care of your debt like Jesus Christ did on the cross, you'll be happy. You'll be blessed. But I think the better word to describe what you'll feel is, oh my goodness, thank you, right? You'll be happy. So God calls us to joy and to happiness. They're not different. And I'll get deeper into this kind of thing in the weeks to follow, explaining that. But one more thing. God, some people say, well, God is angry with the wicked every day. The scripture does say it, actually. It says, I think it's in the Psalms. And people want to camp out there. God is angry with the wicked every day. Okay, I agree with that. But he's also happy. Why? And if you have received Jesus Christ, that you don't stand in that place of being still wicked. Now you're standing in the place of being redeemed. Now you experience the joy of the Lord. Well, does God's happiness exclude experiencing sorrow? No, of course not. I'm not preaching going on with a big smile on my face like I'm the Joker, you know, and nothing gets to me. But I'm saying is, where are you finding your delight? Is it in the worldly circumstances? Is it in pleasures that the world is offering you? Or is it in God? Now, here's the thing. One way you can experience the pleasures of God is this. Enjoying what he's given to you. So here's my key thing. Happiness is this. It's knowing that God is happy and enjoying the gifts and grace and favor that are in Christ. Knowing that God is happy and enjoying the gifts and favor that are in Christ. If he is, I was sitting outside studying and I was listening, and the birds were chirping, right? And nowadays in Arizona, it's been beautiful outside, and the birds were singing in the trees. And I'm like, these birds were using the gifts that God had gifted them, and they were bringing pleasure to God for, you know, God's hearing them say, wow, my birds are chirping. And they were enjoying themselves chirping, because that's what they do, right? They chirp, they go, or, you know, however they go, right? They were enjoying that, and that brought them pleasure and joy. And it was a gift that God gave them, and they were enjoying that. They were happy. So let's think about this. Let's finish this up. Perhaps, and maybe I didn't go through all the objections and all the considerations, we'll get to in the next several weeks, trust me. But in order to experience God's happiness, perhaps it is knowing that God's happy and then enjoying his favor. Rather than looking for the next thing that you think will bring you pleasure and happiness, delighting in the Lord. And Jesus Christ came to this earth to save you from sin and to rescue you so that you can enter into his presence and experience his joy. And the world is looking for that. You know something? Listen, just hear me out. The world is looking for the Jesus that we have. What if we as believers, we're joyful in a sense where the world says, I want what you have. I looked everywhere else for happiness, and you got something I can't find. I can't take the no pill, no this, no that, can do what you have. What do you have? And they say, can you please tell me? And you're like, I have Jesus. There's something different about you. I have Jesus. Oh, I want that Jesus. Could it be if we walked in the joy of the Lord, delighting in the Lord, that everything that the world is looking for, they see, you Christians have something we don't have, and we're looking, we're trying new pills, new drills, new daffodils, whatever, you know. But you have something we don't have. What is it? It's Jesus. Jesus has filled our heart. Jesus is who we delight in. Jesus is the one who has given us joy. Not from me, this came from him, and I want to share him with you. Can you imagine if the world saw the body of believers, Christians, the church, enjoying the Lord, delighting in the things of God? Jesus would be a whole lot more attractive to them than the Eeyore, cloudy Jesus that we often present. So my challenge to you, and it's a challenge to me, is delight yourself in the Lord. Allow him, enjoy, in fact, savor. What he's given to you. If you're a Christian, and receive it. Enjoy it. If you're a believer, his favor to you cannot be changed. His love for you is what you're looking for. And what you found, do you realize you found what the world's looking for? And if you're an unbeliever, Turn to Christ. You've tried everything else. Try Jesus. I'm telling you, he will give you his joy that's out of this world, because he loves you. Let me pray. Father, I just want to pray for my brothers and sisters, my friends out there who is watching live or watching later on live somewhere else. Lord, that you would, through your Holy Spirit, spark a hunger for this joy that they have searched for in other places and other means, but perhaps they can find it in you, Lord, to delight in you, God. We were made, Lord God, to enjoy you. We were made to have fellowship and relationship with you. And Jesus Christ, by his death on the cross, has made that possible. So, Father, I pray that you would draw many people, maybe to meet Jesus for the first time, or maybe those who are believers, to approach him in a different way, as a God who's happy and joyful, who's gracious, who meets our needs, who fulfills us. Father, I just pray your blessing, my brothers and sisters out there. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed, or if you have any questions or comments, send us a text, email, message us. God bless you. Next week, we're going to continue on with happy. I love you. See you later. Take care.